Hello and welcome to another episode of Aphantasia Experiments. I'm really excited to have you here. I feel like a lot has changed, a lot has happened. I feel like that every time I record a podcast. I actually feel like I am a podcaster because I just had this realization not too long ago. I feel like I've been guided by spirit, by angels, by guides. I don't know who to call them, what to call them. But I feel like I've been getting these massive downloads, and I've had them for so long, but I finally kind of understand them a bit better, that I get these downloads and they have to go somewhere. And so I started this podcast, I was kind of like intuitively guided to do it, but now I'm realizing that it's a place for me to dump all the downloads. And I think the downloads are completely, you know, sent to me by spirit. It's just plopped into my head, and that all that information that I get is meant to be shared. You know, it's like spirit is trying to communicate. I don't know if you've read the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, but she talks about how often we get ideas in our heads, and if we don't like act on those ideas, they will go to someone else. It's like this laser beam being put into your head, you know, like the story, Harry Potter, for example. It gets put into J.K. Rowling's head. She writes it down furiously, and she makes this book series. That's wonderful. Well, what would have happened if she didn't sit down and write furiously? What if, you know, her brain was like, yeah, this is a great idea, but I don't want to. Well, it would go on to the next person, and that person would have the decision to kind of communicate that, write it, whatever. That's kind of what's happening, I feel like, with probably all of us. But for me, it's like I get these like spiritual downloads, and if I don't talk about them, either with my friends or on a podcast, if I don't communicate the stuff that's kind of coming in for me, my anxiety is bananas. And this is like a pretty new realization. It's like this spiritual information, this information comes in me, comes through dreams, it comes through signs, it comes through random memories that pop into my mind, random ideas about changing, you know, the world in different ways. All this information just kind of lands in my mind. And then if I don't express it outwardly, if I don't talk about it, if I don't release it somehow, it gets stuck and I get super anxious. And it's like, I'm sure I'm not the only one in the universe that has this. I'm sure there's many people out there that have this, where you get anxiety. It's like a buzzing or bubbling in your chest. It can feel different in different ways, like in your body. But it's this like uneasy feeling, like something bad's gonna happen or something. I don't know. It's a terrible feeling, and it's very daunting. And what I think is happening is that I'm getting so much information, but I'm holding on to it and not releasing it and not expressing it. And when I don't do that, it's like my body's saying, you need to do it. Like, get out of your head. Like, stop, overthinking stuff and just like believe what the messages that are coming in and say them out loud, you know, share them with your friends, share them with your listeners, write it in a book. Do automatic writing, but you need to be able to like listen, hear, and like vocalize or express it and release it somehow. Otherwise, it just sticks in you and it causes insane amounts of anxiety. So if you are someone who gets like random downloads, random ideas, random thoughts, dreams that like, you know, tell a story or explain something, do something with that information. Don't just sit on it, because the more you sit on it, the more it's like the universe is like, I don't know if it's like it's trying to shake you to say, listen to me. And that voice of listen to me is, if you don't listen to it, it comes out in like bodily, anxieties, like feelings in your body, like the sick to your stomach, the gut feeling, but the buzzing in your chest, all that stuff, if you're not listening to that intuition, that guidance coming through, and you're just kind of like ignoring it or stuffing it down, that's what's going to happen. That's anxiety, baby. And I feel like most of the people in the world, in this world, have some sort of anxiety disorder. And I'm not, like, in any way mocking that, because I have anxiety. And I think it's just trying to better understand where it comes from. You know, if you are doing stuff in your life that feels so out of alignment with who you are at a soul level, and if you don't even know who you are at a soul level, that's going to cause a lot of anxiety. You know, I feel the worst, you know, when I'm doing something that doesn't jive with who I am anymore. I will get, like, sick to my stomach sometimes. I like, start doing something and I'm like, I feel like I need to get up and walk around. I can't even do this. Like, it's so, I feel like in my body, I know now to listen to that voice and to know when my body is saying, don't do this. You know, like at my old job, I was getting sick so often. So often. And it was my body being like, you need to get the F out of here. You know, this is not good for you and your mental health. You are not following, you know, the path that we're laying out for you. You're kind of doing your own thing, scared to listen to the voice. So this is just my public service announcement. If you have a little voice inside of your head saying, do this, do that, just don't ignore it. And if you're scared about it, talk it out loud. Talk to it. Talk about what you're hearing. You know, maybe just expressing it out loud can help you navigate and understand, you know, the guidance that you're getting. Sometimes you're like, what? Why do you want me to go walk downtown today? That makes no sense. And then you start talking about it. You're like, oh, maybe if I went downtown, I would run into someone I haven't seen in a while who, I don't know. But sometimes you get a voice in your head to go a different direction on your way home. You don't need to know the answer, but just listen to it. Just listen to it. And the more you listen to it, the more you, like, talk to it and, like, ask for clarifications, the more you're going to feel, like, in alignment, and you're going to feel good in your body, and you're going to feel natural doing things, and it's not going to feel weird anymore. So, that's my ramble about that. I don't know where that came from, but that's been something that's been kind of coming up for me a lot. It's just, like, listen to your intuition, or your anxiety is gonna be bad. So, I've been working for a company delivering remains to people. I haven't talked about the company name or anything. I think they're doing a blog piece on me on their website. So once they do that, I'll post about it. But my job has been going to visit families who have recently lost loved ones. And I deliver the remains and I sit with the family. Often it's a quick interaction, but other times it's like you hear a lot of stories about the person they've lost, you know, a lot of different things. And it's been such a beautiful experience for me to just hold space for people. I think that's something that I've always been kind of drawn towards. I've always, and not just being drawn towards, I feel like when I was growing up as a kid, like, adults would share a lot of stuff with me. And just, like, all throughout my life, when I worked in a pharmacy, people would come up to me and, like, talk to me like I was a bartender, you know. I remember getting my dad, like, a job interview from a woman that came through as my dad had lost his job. He worked in the banking industry and lost his job right at the end of my high school. And this woman worked at the head office and was, like, willing to give my dad a shot just based on a conversation he had with me. And I was, like, 18 at the time. But I had this, like, maturity and I was able to, like, listen and give feedback appropriately. I feel like that's always been kind of, I don't know, maybe my shining light is that I'm a good listener, or I'm here to hold space for people's stories and stuff. And starting this job, my oldest son was like, are you sure you're going to be able to handle that? You're an empath. Like, you can feel things. Like, you know that about yourself. Like, look at your last job and what it did to you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I understand where you're coming from, you know, from an outside perspective looking in, this sounds like a terrible job. But the job itself, I come home and I feel like my heart is full. It feels like I'm living in the moment and I'm cherishing the moments that I have. You know, I think about the people that I'm delivering, you know, they're not here anymore. Life can end abruptly. Life can end. It can be a prolonged thing. But facing that end is, it's eye-opening. It makes you look at life a little differently and appreciate the little things in life a little bit more. And it also, based on all my interactions with people, again, some are really short and some people don't want to talk at all, but all the other, you know, meaningful interactions I've had with people, the thing I'm learning is how important the small connections we have, like all the connections we have in our life are, and how sharing our stories with people and connecting with people, like that's what life is about. It's not about, you know, the nice car that you bought or the bonus you got or, you know, how many things you sold. It's about the moments and the connections we have with people that we love. And I love that. I love learning that, and I love being around people who are like learning that themselves through the grief they're experiencing. I'm not saying I love being around people who are grieving, but I also feel like I can help in a way. And I feel like when I leave those situations, I don't feel like I'm leaving the people worse. You know, I feel like I've added some sort of glimmer into their day. And that might not always be the case, but for the most part, I feel like I've left and I've made their day better in some format. And I think that just comes from me being like a natural light worker. Anyways, I love that part about me, but the other part that, and I'm going to talk a bit about aphantasia here. I know this is a podcast about aphantasia, and I clearly don't talk about it much. But I also went for my Reiki 2. So I've talked about before, I have my Reiki 1, and I love doing Reiki. I haven't dabbled a ton in doing it for people that I don't know. So it's been mostly like friends and family. I do it on my kids all the time. I do it on myself all the time. I do it on my dog all the time. And it's very like, I can feel it's a feeling in my body that I get and I understand. And it's like, I started doing Reiki and I was like, oh, you know, I always understood that we were like made up of energy and whatnot, but doing the Reiki, like the Reiki 1 experience was like, oh, okay, I get it now. I get how to work with it. I get like, I just understand it a bit better. And it's so beautiful right now. I'm just driving home and there's this beautiful fog over this like mountain. It's not really a mountain, but it looks like a mountain. There's ski hills and stuff. It's so pretty. Anyway, random. So when I did my Reiki 1, I was like, this is so magical and amazing. And I was doing Reiki on my friend and having all these like really cool experiences, like psychic experiences where impressions would come to me and whatnot. And then like everything would come true after, or like not come true, but like, it's like painting a picture, like you're figuring out a puzzle, you know, and there's pieces that you haven't fully, you know, made work in the puzzle yet, but you know, they're there. That's like what the Reiki experience was for me. Anyways, so I had the Reiki 1 for, I don't know, a while, and all of a sudden I had this, like, pull, this push. I never know if it was a pull or a push, but to get Reiki 2. It was, like, in a week my friend was like, you should go for your Reiki 2, and, like, I had a dream about it. I had all this other stuff, and then my Reiki master had texted me or something the same week, which is not normal. So finally I was like, okay, universe, let's do this. So I went, and I did my Reiki 2 attunement. And I've been practicing on some people, and it has been absolutely mind-boggling, mind-bending, completely surreal. Like, when I first did the Reiki 1, I was like, this is magical, and I don't understand distance Reiki. It seems so silly to me. And when I came home from my, like, attunement the second time, and I was telling my husband about it, because I was like, oh, I can do distant Reiki now, so I can do Reiki on someone who's not even with me. He's like, wait a second. So, you know, I can get on board with the energy healing when you're touching someone. It seems a little out there, but I can get on board with it. My husband is not at all like me, so I'm doing his voice here, but it's not what he sounds like at all. And then he goes, but you're telling me that you can, you know, do energy healing on someone who's not even there? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, he just looks at me like, are you insane? Are you insane? And it's funny because I even talked about it on the podcast before. I'm like, I don't understand distant Reiki. I don't get it if you're not in the room, like whatever. But now that I've done it and I've experienced it, I'm telling you, it is better for me, like on the receiving end for my impressions and whatnot. It is better for me as a practitioner to do the distance Reiki. I love the normal, you know, in-person Reiki as well. But the distance Reiki, it's like the amount of impressions and things that come into my mind so quickly while I'm doing it. It's like I can tap into that energy so fast, and I'm getting all this like information about all the chakras, about all the misalignments, about like things that have happened, like personal stuff about the person, all this. It is absolutely bananas. And I'm loving it. I want to do more of this. I put it on my website now. I've only been doing it for not too long. But I'm starting to do it for more people that I don't know well, because that's a whole different ball game. And it's so much better for me because I don't go into it with any preconceived, you know, whatever. I'm not thinking, I'm like, oh, I already know this about someone. Like, I do it on my best friend all the time, and she has, you know, she wants to buy a house or whatever. So I'm, like, thinking about that and, like, getting stuff about that. And if I didn't know, you know, that she wanted to buy a house somewhere, I wouldn't have that, like, preconceived notion, you know? Like, and so doing it on people that I don't know, it is such a magical experience because I'm, like, I don't know how to place it. And it's scary, right? Because you're basically just like saying random shit that could or couldn't be accurate. But what I'm getting is it's accurate and it's so cool. So I did it on my, I had a friend, one of my best friends growing up. She's the person who actually introduced me to Spirit in the Glass as a child, which is like Ouija. And maybe I'll do a whole episode on that one day. Because a lot of people are like so against it, and I'm not. I'm not against Ouija. I'm not against Spirit in the Glass. I think it's the fear that holds us back. I think fear, and I don't want to be irresponsible in saying this because a lot of people say you have to protect yourself, and I do. I protect myself before I do a reading or a seance or whatever, but I am not scared. And as a child growing up in grade 2, I was communicating with dead people. I was never scared. And so I didn't have scary experiences. I just believed that they were good. And even a scary person, like I've had some scary experiences, but I never believed that it would have an effect on me. You know, I always believed that I had the power, you know, in myself to protect myself, whatever. So I think a lot of like, those kind of experiences, with Ouija and Spirit in the Glass or whatever intuitive tool that you practice, it's like you need to have the belief in yourself and the knowingness that you are always protected. And so with that in mind, I think that, you know, those kind of practices can be really amazing and really validating and really soul healing, you know, especially if you go into a seance or, you know, a Ouija experience and you specifically want to connect to someone, and you are able to get that, it's pretty friggin' magical. Anyways, that was a long tangent, but my friend, she was having some health problems. She is like was my best friend as a child, but we don't speak all the time now. Like, I talk to her a couple times a year. I don't know really anything about her life. But she had a bit of a health scare with a tumor. And so I had offered to do her some distance Reiki. And I had such an incredible experience with her. It was so magical. Like, all the stuff, it was so, I've done quite a few now, and, like, the feelings I was getting, and it was such a magical experience, and I sent her a big, long voice note, and she validated most of the stuff, like, 99% of the stuff, and that alone, like, that experience has made me, like, more confident in my own abilities. And I need to do more of that. I need to do more practicing and offering these Reiki healings on people outside of my circle. So I've put it on my website now. I'm offering Reiki, distance Reiki. With that, you will get a voice note. It'll be like an intuitive, it's like a psychic reading. And the way I do it, it's different than, you know, other people. When I went to see my Reiki master, she was like, and this is how I know this is the right person for me, because I know that a lot of people do Reiki in a lot of different ways. But for her, she said, you know, I want to make this experience an intuitive experience for you. So, Reiki can be done in many different ways. You know, there's the symbols and whatnot, but the actual way of doing it, it should come intuitively to you. And that's exactly what it's been for me. It's been very much intuitive. And, like, I feel like now that I'm in tune to that, like, kind of energy, I'm able to do the readings so much easier. Like, it comes so naturally. It's really freaking cool. Where was I going to go with that? I don't remember. What I was going to say was, the way I do it, I do it a bit differently. So for me, and I think that this is going to evolve over time. And if you're in your own, you know, if you're learning how to be psychic, intuitive, medium, whatever, and, you know, it takes time to figure this shit out. So I know I have this power. I know that I'm being guided. I know, you know, that the stuff that's coming into my head is not just my own randomness. It is coming from a higher power. I know this. But I also know that I have certain times of the day where I feel this power more. And I think that over time, the more I develop it, the more I'll be able to access that and, like, hone into that quicker at all times of the day. But for me, right now, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm up till 6 usually. And during that time, I'm doing Reiki on myself. If I have other people that need Reiki done, I'll do it on them often during that time, because I feel so powerful. You know, I used to say, I still do this, like, I wake up and I listen to the sky talk to me, and that's what's happening. It's like, it is so loud during that time, and it used to frustrate me so much that I wake up and not be able to get back to sleep. But now I'm like, the universe, it needs to speak. And so if I can do Reiki on someone during that time period, that's kind of when I want to do it. So if you're looking to get a Reiki session done, I say on the website, just, like, send me a note on when you typically, like, relax. Because I can do Reiki at night, like, in the evening when you're, like, relaxing and watching Netflix. I say, like, you do not have to be just, like, laying there not doing anything. Just don't be moving around and driving. That's the main thing. If you're sitting down or lying down, I will do Reiki on you. I don't care if you're watching a show. It doesn't matter to me. I'm tapping into your energy. It doesn't really matter what else is going on. And the other part is, like, if you're obviously sleeping from 3 to 6, unless you're a night shift worker, that is likely when I will do it. So for the actual Reiki session, is not like I'm not going to say, okay, I'm going to do it. And again, this might change. But currently this is the way I'm going to do it, because I know my energy and I know that I want to do this Reiki healing on people when I know I'm in the best shape for it. So I want to look at, like, when do you relax? When do you go to bed? Because those are the times that I want to do it for you. So I ask that question when you go to purchase. And then what you'll receive from me in the next, in like 48 hours, and I'll let you know if it has to take longer. It all depends on, you know, life. You know, if I have 4 children up barfing in the middle of the night, well, you want Reiki done? You're not going to have the best Reiki treatment because my energy is going to be all fucking scattered, right? So, I say 48 hours, and that likely will be the case, but I'm human. And once I've done the Reiki, I'll send you a quick email or note saying that it's been done and that you should drink some extra fluids just to, you know, keep your vibe up. But then I'll also send you a voice note with all the information I received during the treatment. And this can come in, like, it's like spiritual guidance, things that need to change, things that you need to work through, stuck energy in your body, what that could mean, how you could fix it, experiences that you might be holding on to that have kept you from moving forward. There's like so much in there that can come out by just me looking at your energy. It is cuckoo bananas, wild and amazing, and I am here for it. I hope you're here for it. And the other part to all this is, as you know, I said before that I was going to talk about aphantasia, and I clearly haven't. But with Reiki, if you have aphantasia and you're like, I would love to do Reiki, but I can't because I can't remember symbols. This is another part where I was like, okay, I am not going to be able to pull up this symbol in my mind because I can't see anything in my mind. How do I go about doing this? So I lay out the papers with the symbols, and I think going forward, I'm going to get like some buttons printed that I can have so I can just look at. But once I've just like had it in my mind and I think about it, like that's all I need to do, and it works. So I think that sometimes we hold ourselves back with putting in so many rules, when really, you know, sometimes it's just like you need to turn on your power and it's there. But I do think that I'm kind of learning a different way, and it's more intuitive to me. But, you know, I'm taking what I've learned from my Reiki master and I'm making it work for me from an aphantasia perspective. And I think going forward, once I become a Reiki master, which I'm not yet, so if you're reaching out to me about, you know, wanting to learn how to become a Reiki person, I'm not there yet, but I will be eventually. So stay tuned. I would love to be able to offer this service to people who have aphantasia, because I think there's so many of us out there, and I know we're not all the same, because my husband has aphantasia and he is not an energy healer. Like he has so many other amazing qualities that like are heightened despite his aphantasia, but his like empathy, energy, all that shit, he's not like, he's the yin to my yang. He's not like me at all in that way, but I know there is a plethora of people out there who are like me, who see things differently, who feel things differently. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help those people who are like me. It might be a small niche community, but it's there. And if you have aphantasia, but you feel, you know, like you've always had this, you know, sense of people or understanding of emotions in a different way, I think that it's worth, you know, looking into more. And I'd love to help guide you in any way possible. Reach out to me for a Reiki reading, but also stay tuned, because one day, hopefully in the near future, I'm thinking like maybe by the summer, we'll see how this goes. I will work on getting my Reiki master, and then I'll be able to also teach people. And I really want to kind of lean into teaching people who have aphantasia, because I have a really I have a really good understanding of how our minds work, and it's so different and unique than other people. And I think we need to lean into our unique abilities as much as possible. So yeah, I hope this podcast resonates with you in some way. Please reach out if you are interested at all in a Reiki experience. And feel free to email me if you have any sort of questions. My email is rofocreative@gmail.com. R-O-F-O creative, C-R-E-A-T-I-V-E @gmail.com. And then my website where you can get the Reiki treatments, it is aphantasiaexperiments.com. If you just go to the offerings page, there's also some meditations in there for people with aphantasia. You can find a lot of it on YouTube though. And I have my intuitive readings too. I do also offer tarot and dice readings. That's something else I offer. Basically, intuitive readings is what I'm kind of doing. But the Reiki one is a bit different because it involves also like tuning into your energy and healing and patching and kind of like working and making it flow a bit differently than it is, unless you have beautiful energy and you're coming in like this perfect ball of beautiful chakras. And if that's the case, I can tell you that and be like, you are on the right path. You're in alignment. It's a beautiful thing. Most people have a little bit, you know, some stuff going on, but sometimes you just need a little bit of guidance, and I'm here for it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope there was something in there that stuck with you. If not, check out one of my other podcasts. There's got to be something there for you. And if not, well, don't listen to my podcast anymore because I like to ramble. But I'm sure there's something for you, and I hope that you continue listening, and I hope to hear from you. I love to hear from my fans, my listeners, and I hope you book a Reiki session. And yeah, I hope you stay tuned and also become one of my students in the future, because I think that will be, I think there's a lot of people, spiritual aphantasia people out there that want to develop and hone their gifts, and I'm excited to be kind of, you know, at the forefront, like learning about all this stuff, so in the future I'll be able to guide people. That's kind of where I'm at. One more story I wanted to say this because I was going to end, but I was scrolling on something yesterday and I came across this video of Matt Damon on the Stephen Colbert show. And I've had this thing for Matt Damon since, grade eight, 1997. I remember the year so well because, grade eight, grade seven, those years are very impactful. But I had this thing for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I loved Good Will Hunting. My friend and I went to see it like 1,700 times in theaters. We actually went, it was when all of our friends were going to see Titanic because they loved Leonardo DiCaprio, if you don't know. And I was like, no, Good Will Hunting is where it's at, which I'm like, I don't even know if we were like legally allowed to go at that age because there was a lot of swear words in that movie. In fact, we went once and we went just to count how many times they dropped the F-bomb in the movie. We got bored after like 20 minutes because there were so many and we stopped counting. But yeah, that movie, we loved it. Still love it. It's a great movie. Anyway, I've always had this thing for Matt Damon. There's something about him and the things he says, how intelligent he is. He's a great writer. He's just, I think he's a good person. And I know that like celebrities, it's hard because we expect them to be perfect all the time. So if they screw up once, you're like, oh, but didn't you hear he did this? Like Oprah. People are pissed at Oprah. I think generally she's a good person. Anyway, why am I talking about this? Matt Damon was on Steve Colbert and he said something and it was just a clip that I saw and I was like, oh, Matt Damon gets it. And maybe this is why I've always loved Matt Damon, is because he has the same kind of understanding about the universe as I do. He was telling the story, and please look it up. I actually ended up watching the whole interview. But he was talking about I guess Steve Colbert asked about his earliest memory, I think. And he said that recently had a dream. So his father had just recently died. He had a dream that his in the dream, it was a visitation dream from his father, and his dad gave him this big hug. And he said in the dream, he felt, it's like he felt what it was like to be held for the first time, which made him like remember when his consciousness came online for the first time, like when his dad held him as a newborn. I was like, whoa, it made my like, like gave me goosebumps. I was like, he gets it. Like he understands. And I've had that dream before too. Not with my dad. My dad's still alive, but I had it with my friend who passed away. He gave me a hug and I was like, holy crap. I remember like every hug I've ever experienced with you through this moment. And yeah, I could go on a whole, I could do a whole episode about grief dreams. In fact, Google grief dreams. There's a guy that I forget his name, but he was working out of McMaster Hospital or McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. I don't know if he's still doing his research on it, but he, I think his website is griefdreams.com or .ca. And he's done all this research on grief dreams and how they can help, help with the grieving process and the healing process. And I completely believe that because I've had a lot of visitation dreams. And every time you have them, you wake up thinking, like, you wake up feeling warm and fuzzy and, like, better, you know? And for me, I always validate those dreams. I'm like, that was real. I know it was real because I felt those things and I, you know, the colors are a bit different or whatever. I always validate myself. But I don't think everyone does that. They like shake it off as it's like, it's not a real thing. Anyways, this grief dreams guy, has been exploring, you know, the benefit of them and the research behind them. So it's really interesting. Feel free to Google that and do some research. I would love to have him on the podcast one day when I'm brave enough to have guests on. Also, Matt Damon, if you're around, Matt, just, you know, in case you randomly listen to podcasts about yourself, I'm a big fan. And I feel like you've done a lot of great things with the world and in your position. And I'd love to have you as a guest. So Matt Damon, if you're listening to this, please reach out. I also, oddly enough, just gonna keep rambling here. I oddly enough have dreams about Matt Damon often and since I was a kid. And it's always we are at a baseball game and we're just shooting the shit. As a kid, I had such a crush on him. And now I look at him and I'm like, I love that he's a married man with children. And like he's a family guy and he's just like super intelligent, well-read, all of these things. And I look at and I see him in my dreams and I'm like, he's just my friend, you know. So I think Matt Damon and I are friends, you know, in the spiritual realm, maybe not in this lifetime, but I feel like we are connected through that, through the dream world. And it would be interesting to see, you know, if we ever met in real life, if he would recognize me because of how often we're in each other's dreams. And by in each other's dreams, I mean I'm in, he's in my dream. I don't know if I'm in his, but wouldn't that be cool? I talk to my friend all the time about our dreams, and oftentimes our dreams will have like parts that are similar or like we're doing the same thing in our dreams. So how often do you get to actually talk to the people that you dream about? Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't it be just wild if we were dreaming the same thing? I don't know. Anyways, I am going to stop talking and rambling now. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I hope you explore whatever you want to explore in life, whether it be Reiki, Matt Damon movies, or, you know, whatever it is. Horseback riding? I don't know. Go out and do the thing. You only live once, and by that I mean you live multiple times because I believe in reincarnation. But this life that you're in currently, you only live one life in this meat suit that you're in. So take advantage of this body and this life because it's worth it. You know, you're meant to do big things. So go out and do it. Have a great and wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.